From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is the ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh,
Panic.
Hey, Bob, and let's not forget cape wearing and hoodie wearing as well, because
it's fall, y'all. The fall equinox has passed, but moon has ended, which is a witchy Sabbath holiday.
Yeah,
bringing in the fall and the autumn and all that jazz as we ready for the harvest and prep for the dead of winter. And
yes.
And it is time to start speaking.
Is it so the veil? When does the veil start thinning? Is it right
it's
now?
It's about now.
Right now.
So now it's thin.
Wow.
So
I want to. Where can you watch it thin? Where can you watch the veil thin?
It's not like, you know, a NASA video where you watch like the moon cycles over time. It's not like
I never seen the veil thin.
I mean, you can hang out and go to your local paranormal investigation teams like Haunt or something, and you could probably see some spooky works happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great term. The veil, we'll put it on a t-shirt.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think your next round of shirts.
The veil is at its thinnest.
Hashtag campaign.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to say. But Bob, yes, we are in the equinox of the autumn season.
So it is now
where the trees are bearing and the moon is at its brightest.
And it must be the season of the witch.
Yeah.
That's the song we were listening to before we went
live. We bumped in before we could switch over to podcast and copyrighted music. We were able to play it on the radio.
If this is your first time ever watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish. I say ish because sometimes it doesn't work out that
chaotic
way. It's been chaotic. This year has just been chaotic. I'm ready for 2023 to happen to be less chaotic. But a weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories. Mm. And of course,
yeah,
Count Panic's favorite shoe brand.
Shoe brand, Bob? Well, you know, I've always been a New Balance guy myself.
The Midwestern dad, the Midwestern vampire
straight,
dad.
The white one with for barbecuing, right?
Mowing your lawn.
Mowing the lawn.
You got to put your hands on the hips and say, well, that's a mighty good looking lawn.
You stand on the porch and when it rains, you say, we needed this.
You know, before I forget, Count, I need your update from the week.
You want the update from the, or do you want to?
Just give me an update. What's
I was
going
say,
on?
Because we got the phone lines are lit up.
Oh, alrighty. Take the first call live.
You want to take the first call before we get to the update?
Sure.
Right, well, this is unprecedented.
Caller, you are early.
Way before.
Listen, I don't know when you guys know when the veil is defended.
I do know, sir. It is Samhain or Halloween, October 31st and November 1st. The veil is at its thinnest.
Well, I just want to start to show off that for me personally, it's at its thinnest when I have to put the heat on in the house already.
Oh,
that's fair.
So that's the way it goes for me as far as thinning of the veil.
He lost the war today with the furnace. You got to put it on. A lot of people lost the war today. The furnaces have came on today.
I refuse.
You refuse.
December 1st, I will turn a furnace on. Unless there is a miraculous cold snap, I will not turn it on.
I see a lot of comments on stuff like that where people actually have maybe yourself have a certain day where they'll kick on a furnace. You know, there's a lot of people that actually, you know, I shouldn't say actually, but open up the windows now. You know, we're putting the furnace on. People are opening up the windows. And, you know, somebody even said he still got the air on because it still kicks on. So you have a specific date?
December 1st. Unless something happens, December 1st is the earliest I'll turn it on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that is Yeah, you know what? I hate to interrupt your show, but I...
No, you're okay. John, it's never an interruption. You are as much part of the show as my knucklehead producer back there.
Yeah.
Hey, I figure I'd start it off. So
Thanks, John, for calling in.
Take care.
Remember, folks, 219-845-1100. Do we have another call?
No, but I heard the office phone ringing, which is rare for this time of night.
Folks, if you're trying to call the show, it's 219-845-1100.
Yeah, so let's say that again. If you're trying to call the show, I know somebody's trying to call the office line. Nobody's here to pick up.
219-845-1100.
845-1100.
And if you're calling with a complaint, it'll get sent right to the complaint department. Why is there a paranormal show on WJOB? Well, we've been at it for like 3 years
now.
There'll
be reruns if there wasn't a... if we were not right now, there'd be reruns.
There'd be reruns of Bob After Dark anyways.
Yeah,
so
we're fine.
So send the complaint department. You can send it to accountpanic@ BobAfterDark.com.
My cape is falling off, by the way, too.
All right, let's get an update from you, by the way.
All right, Bob. Well, as I readjust my cape right there, you know, the veil again is here. Fall is here, and you know, taking place in some fall activities going on here, right, Bob? So over the weekend, I went to the Scarecrow Fest.
How was that?
In Wanata, Indiana. Wanata.
Where is Wanata?
It's about a little past Valparaiso, and maybe like 10 minutes past Valpo or so.
Also, it's out in like LaPorte County. Though.
Yeah, LaPorte County. There, about a town of 1,000 people, and they were all at the Scarecrow Festival.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, a little fall festival. It gets you in the spirit of things, Bob. You need events like that, or do things like that. They really kick you in the high gear to be excited about the autumn season. But yes. Yeah, that's what I did over the weekend. How about you?
I celebrated not my birthday. My birthday celebration is next week. I celebrated somebody else's birthday.
Oh yeah,
the one of the OGs of the Bob After Dark fandom, my mother.
Oh wow,
yeah,
happy birthday to her.
Yes, happy belated to my mother. She had a good time.
Where'd you go?
We actually went up to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Yeah,
we went up to Milwaukee and had a good old time.
Well, that's the thing, and you're big in Wisconsin. They people probably got a kick. Hey, you were there celebrating your mother's birthday.
Nobody recognized me. Actually, I lied. The people at there's an antique store I go to when I'm up there at Antiques on Pierce, and the two people that have a booth there called Cattywampus, they're of the witchy persuasion, but they're also paranormal investigators.
Wow.
And the wife, and her name slips my mind, but the wife duo, she was on Monster Quest, if you remember that show. It was a cryptid show of all things. She was on the Dogman episode. Which we're going to have to do here at some point in very near future. But, anytime I'm up there, I always get a chance to say hi to them and chat in a little bit. And I always frequent their booth at the mall, and I always buy me some kind of book for the occulty library. So
got to be careful at those antique malls, Bob. You never know when you're picking something up.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. And again, happy birthday to your mother. Right.
Yes. So that was my update.
Nice.
And her, the Queen of the Night, my brother, we all went up and had a good time.
Well, sounds great. Did you drink any Spotted Cow?
I did not. We went to the Pabst restaurant, which is the old Pabst Brewery.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we went there, and I actually had PBR.
Fresh from the tap.
No, I had the PBR extra, so they didn't have that on tap, but they had a tall boy for it.
That's, you switched over to that, right?
I still drink PBR on the occasion.
But the extra gives it a little oomph.
It does give it a little bit more oomph, but you can't find that everywhere. Most bars still just carry regular PBR, which, by the way, I think they're owned by the Milwaukee Brewing Company now, so if PBR is out there or some representative is looking to sponsor a podcast, you guys don't have to pay me much. PBR is my beer of choice, and I will defend it into my grave.
Yeah.
A lot of people give me crap about PBR, but I prefer it.
You prefer? You know, it's a solid, it's a trusty beer, too, Bob. It is trusty.
It is trusty.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to move into the show?
Yeah, sure.
So we talked a little bit about what Bob After Dark is, if you're first time ever watching or listening. We divide up the show into a couple parts. The first part's where we look at the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you, the fans, send in questions. Well, I guess you could always send in questions. But you slide on in and tell us any news articles that came up, and these could be anywhere between anything weird. So ghost sightings, cryptid encounters, weird lights in the sky making it to major news networks or even just advances in science that borderline on science fiction. It's our headlines of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our first one actually comes to us from our friend, James in Peoria.
James in Peoria.
He sent this over to me. It comes to us from waxy.org.
Waxy.org.
Written by Andy Bike. And I apologize, Mr. Bike, if I, or Ms. Bike, or Bio, sorry, I looked like a Q. B-A-I-O, Andy Bio. Here's a little mystery for you. There are multiple reports of a mysterious voice grunting, moaning, and groaning on American Airlines in-flight announcement systems, sometimes lasting the duration of the flight. And nobody knows what is responsible or how they did it. There's an actor, Emerson Collins, was the first to post a video from his Denver from flight on September 6th. It just shows, you know, the weird noises that are about to be popping in. There is, that is the only bit of video evidence so far, but Emerson is one of several people who have experienced this on multiple American airline flights. Mm. The thread from John NYC has collected several different reports from airline employees and insiders on both Airbus A321 and Boeing 737-800 planes. Other people have reported similar experiences, always on American Airlines, going as far as back as July. Every known incident has gone through the greater Los Angeles area, including Santa Ana or Dallas-Fort Worth. Here are some incidents that's been reported on so far in chronological order. In July, JFK to LAX, Barry P. Allen wrote, "My wife and I experienced this during an AA flight in July, and it sounds like moans and groans of someone in extreme pain. This occurred three or four times during the early flight, then stopped." On August 5th, 11-117 JFK to LAX, Wendy Wanderman wrote, "It happened to me on August 5, JFK to LAX, and it was the flight that they were on. The flight crew that was on it in the same days earlier said the same thing happened. This time it seemed to be an audible screaming." Mid-September, American Airlines 320 Orlando to Dallas-Fort Worth, so it's not just restricted to the Denver area or LAX. Doug Bonner wrote, "This happened to me last week. It wasn't the whole flight, but periodically weird phrases and sounds. And then a huge, oh yeah, when we landed." And,
wow.
As if someone thought the pilot left his mic on, which he wasn't. And then the last reported one we have is American Airlines 1631, Santa Ana, California to Dallas, Fort Worth. Boeing 737-800, an anonymous report passed on to subreddit John NYC. "Currently AA-1631, and someone keeps hacking into the PA, making moaning and screaming sounds, and not pleasurable kind, but inaudible madness. The flight attendants are standing by on their phones because it isn't them, and the captain just came on and think that the flight systems are compromised, and we will finish the flight to DFW. Sounded like a male voice, but it wouldn't last more than 5 to 10 seconds before stopping, and it immediately happened on and off again the entire flight." Interesting. John NYC followed up with the person who made the most recent report in September and asked if it sounded like some voice in a video. They sent a video from the actor, very, very similar, same voice. "But ours was less aggressive, although the volume might have been turned up more, making the sound more aggressive, but 100% the same voice." American Airlines has an official response. Wing Gary Leff asked the airlines this issue, and their official response is that it's a mechanical issue with their PA amplifier. The LA Times followed up on Saturday with slightly more information. "Our maintenance team thoroughly inspected the aircraft and the PA system and determined that the sounds were caused by a mechanical issue with the PA amplifier, which raises the volume of the PA system when the engines are running," said Sarah Johnson, spokesperson for American Airlines. Johnson, "the PA systems are says that the PA systems are hardwired with no external access and no Wi-Fi component. The airline's maintenance teams is reviewing the additional reports, and Jantz did not respond to the questions on how many reports it received and whether the reports from different aircrafts." the explanation feels incomplete to the writer, and how does it multifunctional broadcast with what sounds like a human male voice screaming in agonizing pain, and how is it happening on different aircraft if it's faulty on one?
Oh.
Hashtag panic stake.
Well, Bob, when I hear you say somebody said, oh, yeah. I got two thoughts. Either Macho Man Randy Savage
is back from the grave,
or the Kool-Aid Man was making an appearance there. Well, that is eerie, Bob. And if you're on a plane, you know you want to be nice and smooth. The last thing you want is any trouble going on this plane. Or if you hear some kind of voices, it's extra eerie. So I'm guessing maybe a technical mishap here, Bob. That's my guess.
On multiple flights, though.
No, maybe multiple technical mishaps.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
How do you explain
that, though?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know if this is paranormal. That's a bit stretchy. Mm. But I think there's some mischievous nonsense going on.
It's like a hacker?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Or, it could be a hacker.
Extraterrestrial, perhaps.
Oh, alien-like. Mm. Well, that could be an option, too, Bob. Yeah, we didn't even think about that.
You never know. Ghost in the shell, perhaps, as well.
Yeah. Ghost on Mars.
All right, ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay, so our next story actually comes to us from our old pal, Tim Benall.
Tim Benall.
And I want to point out that over the past couple months, Tim Benall has not been credited for writing these articles. And I always just say Tim Benall from Coast to Coast AM because I'm assuming that Tim Benall is the only writer on Coast to Coast.
Do they have others?
But I've never seen the others write the articles. Maybe there is. But the fact that Tim wasn't credited, but I still gave Tim credit, shows how much I like Tim Benall. So if Tim Benall is out there listening to this podcast or even the radio show, I doubt that Tim's in the area. But if you listen to this, Tim Benall, I just want to say thank you because you do the hard work to make my show much more interesting. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So this article, Tim Benall from Coast to Coast AM, British farmers decry crop circle damage. While crop circles may serve as a wondrous sight to fans of mysterious phenomena, farmers in England remain understandably irritated by the curious formations which wind up costing unwitting growers a considerable amount of money. An enlightened study from The Guardian found that over the last 5 years, these intricate designs destroyed over 40 soccer fields worth of crops, which could have been harvested and sold for approximately $32,000 in total. The barley and wheat alone would have supplied enough grains for a staggering 300,000 loaves of bread and down rapeseed due to the formations, according to the whopping 600 liters of canola oil that was lost. One victim of the phenomena, Father George Hosford, explained that a formation found in his wheat field back in July 2021 wiped out somewhere between 3 and 4 tons of essential grain, declaring that, "I don't want to believe in this rubbish that's done by aliens." The farmer instead just pointed a finger at people using ropes, boards, and ladders to flatten parts of the crop. That said, he did express a certain amount of mysticism over how often they were able to manage to create the design in a very remote position, and that couldn't be overseen from anywhere aside from the small patch of my neighbor's land. Regardless of how the formation wound up being formed, Hosford indicated that it cost him a little over $1,000 in lost crops as well as fertilizer that went into growing them in the first place. He also noted that while designs do not render the crops totally useless, they are impossible to harvest once they are passed down to a certain level. Since you can scrape up soil and stones, you can wreck the machine. The financial damage done by the designs has gone up extremely due to a spike in grain prices created by the war in Ukraine, which has made a phenomenon even more reviled by farmers unfortunate enough to find themselves in their fields, especially since they frequently spawn crowds of onlookers who are causing even more damage to the farm. Remarkably, Hosford noted that it was... Hosford noticed that it was cost prohibitive to file an insurance claim regarding the incident, that he did not report the matter to police since he did not think they would consider this a serious issue. This would seem to be the case with other farmers affected by the phenomena, as The Guardian found in England's Wiltshire County, which is the proverbial epicenter for crop circle activity. 15 formations appeared over the past 2 years, with 300 resulted in a call to the authorities. Alas, the circle makers operating with a virtual impunity, it would seem to have damage done by their handiwork, will likely continue to be an irritating occupational hazard for growers in England. I'm going to give it over to you, Panic. But okay. I have a thing I'd like to say to this, too. So hashtag panic steak.
You have a theory here.
I do have a theory.
Well, okay. Well, take me back a second here, Bob, because the growers in England, how do they come into play in all this?
They're saying, well, they're farmers, so they're farmers. Growing the crop.
Okay.
And they're saying that the crop circles are costing them an insane amount of money.
Well, yeah, but listen, crop circles, nothing new in society. Crop circles have been going along since the beginning of time, I feel like. There's been less of them, I feel like, these days. I think back before the internet, we had way more crop circles, which might be connected. Maybe you have a theory on that. Do you?
I do not.
Oh, okay. I just figured I ask. But, you know, crop circles, always a thing. I never heard about, and I never really thought about the financial aspect of it. I guess it would catch. I always thought that, you know, farmers were at first flabbergasted and amazed how it happened. But then you probably, after the fact, you're like, oh, geez, this set me back a few dollars, I guess.
Here. I have, and that's the point I wanted to bring up. I have never, in all since we've been doing this and since, you know, career, etc., I have never thought about the financial aspect of things prior to reading this story.
Right.
Because, you know,
it's amazing.
To a non-farmer, which, despite what people may think, you and I do not live in farm country.
No.
You see these and you're like, oh, it's just a little patch of grass or a little patch of wheat. No, man, if you add all that up, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of food gone. So I guess if it's somebody out there pranking somebody, you should probably, like, cut that out. Because you understand that you're costing this farmer money, and it's not enough to where they can file an insurance claim. That's kind of rough. And then that just goes to show you that it's probably not farmers that are causing these if they are hoaxes. If they're costing the farmers money, and you got to think that people are flocking there to want to see these circles, right? And as it said in the article, well, when you get there and you go crossing the field and you're stomping on all these things, you're going to cause more damage to the crop around. So, not that I have a theory, but I will say that this has opened my eyes to paranormal stories as a whole, or as just like in general. You know, you have people that flock the area all the time when there's a paranormal occurrence, and sometimes they don't leave the places they found it. And a lot of times it's not in a positive way that they left it when they left, period. So maybe when you're out and you're doing these investigations or going out and hunting down something, remember that a lot of times this is people's, like, land. Or in this case with these farmers, this is their livelihood.
Yeah.
So if you're out there causing the hoaxes of the crop circles, well, just cut it out. You know, we've seen them. And unless the farmer's doing it as an art piece, go for it. But man, you're costing somebody their livelihood. That's a lot of money.
For sure.
And I've never thought of that before I read the article, by the way.
If it's a prank, that's for sure. But if it is otherworldly, paranormal, supernatural, UFOs, well, then they don't give a hoot about your financial gain. They just want to cause some.
Well, you know what? If there's a creature out there that's causing them crop circles to form, and I was, you know, Farmer Halsdag in this case, I'd be throwing a pitchfork at him. 100%.
Yeah, you almost have to at that point.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. If you're a prankster, knock it off.
So today I learned, and it's a very important thing that, you know, someday if I ever decide to do like a hot take in the paranormal thing, just remember to be cautious about people's area that you're going to see. All right. Do we have another caller?
No.
I thought you were us.
That was just me waving my cape around.
Got it. All right. Last story comes to us from guess who? Oh, pal, Tim Binnall.
Same as the last.
All right. So this one is a video that you can all watch on the Children of the Night page as soon as we go live off the show here, and then people can go back and go and watch it for the podcast version and be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, one of those things. I'm actually giving this video over to Panic as we speak so he can watch it. Yeah, I'm going to have you watching it.
Okay,
yep. Normally I send these to you beforehand, but we're going to do this.
All right.
You got it. Now let's move on. I'm going to read the article here, and I'm going to get your opinion on things. It's a 4-minute, 8-second video, so you can kind of skim through it. Right. But authorities in India have launched an investigation into a very strange video that supposedly shows a ghost hovering around the top of a city building. The peculiar case reportedly began last week when spooky footage was shared on social media in the country. In the video, a mysterious figure who appears to be clad in a white shroud, can be seen seemingly floating at the edge of a rooftop in the city of Varanasi. The footage quickly went viral in India and caused residents of the community to become concerned that the kind of sinister spirit was lurking about in the area. In response to reports that some people are so terrified of possibly encountering the ghost that they are refusing to leave their homes, the city police department has announced that they are launching a probe into the incident in hopes of getting to the bottom of the curious case. There is legitimate fear among people, law enforcement officers said, indicating that the cops have intensified patrolling in the area in hopes of possibly spotting the spirit in the video, which they contend is a misguided prankster and not a genuine apparition. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, I did view some of that there, Bob. And the floating part, there might be some whistles and bells or some kind of hocus pocus that went behind it. But the figure itself looked like just somebody maybe walking in a towel or a cape or a robe, I should say.
Fresno Nightcrawler.
Yeah, maybe so. It takes me back to the Gary Witch locally around here. Like somebody said they saw a witch.
I'm not.
You don't think
believer.
It was a real witch there? Well, maybe a case like that where somebody was just dressed up as in this case, a specter or a ghost apparition. But the floating part, how do you explain the floating part?
Okay, I'm going to play skeptic, and somewhere Patrick from Ghostly is just cheering and just said 1 point to his team. Let's say that it is being skeptical, right? It could be it's not going to be Halloween, but a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Elaborate prank, and you would do the same thing for like a Halloween, Halloween prop, decoration. You get like a dress mold and you put some wireframe around it and then you throw a sheet over it so it looks like it's a floating ghost, but it's actually a wire form underneath it. People do it all the time as a DIY project. I think it's fascinatingly cool. I'm watching this and I see it floating, perhaps someone did that and threw a sheet over a wireframe and is dangling it with some hard-to-see rope or string, whatever it might be. That's just a theory. This is a real fascinating piece of evidence, and I'm interested to see what people think. I would argue that it's the real thing, because the other thing is the culture over there, and I know this because we're actually pretty popular in India. Mm-hmm. People do listen to us, so hello, people of India. Thank you for listening to Bob After Dark. I appreciate it. But I don't think they're the most supernatural believing people. Mm. I could be wrong on that, but I know their culture is very religious. I know they're very deep spiritually in that regard. But as far as like a common ghost story, I'm not too sure. So by trying to prank people with a ghost, I would say that you're going to cause a lot more panic than probably what it's worth, as people are afraid to leave their homes now. So I go back to the idea once again of, maybe if you are pranking somebody, you should probably be a little bit more cautious about it. Because if you're going to cause that much panic, is it worth it?
Yeah. But the floating itself, I mean, that's kind of eerie, I guess. But, I mean, tricks, I guess, could be done. You never know. But yeah, it definitely looks like a phony.
You think it's a phony?
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
Yeah, you could kind of tell. The way they're stepping, it doesn't look like a real specter or anything like that.
All right. So, folks, if you want to see that for yourself and give your own opinion, Children of the Night on our Facebook group page. We're about to become a little bit more active during the month of October. Things have been a little too crazy on my end, be able to keep up with as much social media as I'd like, but we're about to change things up here very soon. My life is finally calming down, I hope. So check that out, Children of the Night Facebook page, and I want to hear your opinions, and I'll share them next week. week on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Count, you ready to take a quick little break?
Sure.
All right. For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stay tuned. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
How are you?
I am doing fine. You?
Well, I'm doing well. What did you do during break?
I physically saw a veil thinning.
Ah, was it a veil of a cookie, perhaps, that you were eating?
Might be a little, what's it called, a parcel?
A parcel?
A parcel. I saw a parcel thin.
What? Are you all right?
And by the way, my cape practically fell off, so
there are fans out there that will be angry about this. I promise you.
I'm sorry, folks. My cape somehow got stuck in my wheel and came off.
Oh,
my
no.
cape is thinning, I think.
Bury him in his cape, folks.
Yeah,
it's very important. It's all right. You'll survive.
On the side here. Yeah.
You know what I did during break?
What'd you do, Bob?
I actually I took up corn whittling.
You did?
Yeah. You know how people make like folk art out of
like,
ears of corn. Or in Children of the Corn, you saw that often.
Of course. It happened all the time, yeah.
You've seen the movie, though.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you've seen Children
of the Corn. I've seen Children of the Corn. That's why you don't go in the corn mazes anymore.
I do not go in the corn mazes.
Children could just grab you from out of
nowhere. I am no longer a child, so I'm no longer protected. No. And I would not make it. So
you're not a big corn maze guy.
I try not to.
Yeah.
I desperately try not to.
People like that stuff.
I've been dragged through them. Mm-hmm. You hear like the chattering of them in the wind. I digress.
They're talking to you.
All right, Count. Yeah. You ready to talk a little bit about the lore of the week?
Sure.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm right here.
Okay. What state are we the most popular in?
I'm sticking with the old trusty Wisconsin.
You are correct. I would say arguably, and I do see our listener base, we have a lot of people that listen to Wisconsin.
It's our home away from
It's our home away from home. It never fails. I could skip right over Chicago and go, and I could get booked at any con I ever want in unlike Milwaukee greater area. Columbus, Ohio. Ohio really likes us. We get booked to speak there a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got finally a chance to start speaking in Chicago now, but it doesn't matter. Wisconsin was the first place to book us, and that's like home away from home.
Yeah.
You got the land of cheese.
Oh, fudge.
You got the spotted cow.
Beer, yes. Beer.
Oh, my goodness.
What more do you need? You have cheese, fudge, and beer in one state. What more can you ask for?
I agree. I'm a big fan of the state of Wisconsin.
Spotted cow.
And I was just there celebrating Mom's birthday, and so I decided to dig deep and try to find a piece of Wisconsin lore that I could share and talk about tonight.
What was it?
So I decided I wanted to talk a little bit about a place that you actually might have been, Count Panic. I don't know. I've been there. It's a concert hall. Have you ever been to the Rave in Milwaukee?
The Rave in Milwaukee. I've heard of it, but I've never been to that concert
I've seen
hall.
Several concerts there. It was my first time ever consuming alcohol. In a copious amount was in the Rave / Eagles Club in Milwaukee. Yeah. I had a lot of firsts in that place, but that's a story for not.
Were you, we'll ask the legal questions later.
I don't know how long statute of limitations lasts in the state of Wisconsin, but I was digging deep and I was finding the different places in Milwaukee I could talk about. But it's very fascinating because we'll start the show by talking about it's the Rave / Eagles Club. I'm just going to call it the Rave because that's just the easier way of doing it. There is a quote from one of the stagehands at the Rave who said, "Every rock star that has performed at the Rave has claimed to see a ghost."
Every rock star.
Every rock star. Tooth and Nail Productions, they're a record, like a Christian record, like label. They do a lot of like Christian post-hardcore music.
Yeah.
2004, Bob would have been very excited. I could talk Creed about that on the real. No, Under Oath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Creed, jeez, no.
With like, arms wide open.
Oh, my goodness. No, but Under Oath, stuff like that. They did an entire podcast where they spoke to like their performers on their record label of like, where's the scariest place that anybody's ever done, like ever performed at. And the entire podcast episode was about every band that has ever performed at the rave.
Really?
Yes. So tonight we are going to be talking about the Rave / Eagles Club, wow, which we're going to be calling it just the Rave for sake of argument. The Rave in Milwaukee, in my opinion, one of the best places to see a concert because it's just a massive place to be. And on the flip side of that, it's also one of the spookiest. I want to give a quick shout out to Haunted Houses. They're a great website for a lot of local detail on like a lot of just local paranormal stuff that you might not have known. So there's definitely, I just want to give a quick shout out to hauntedhouses.com. You guys can check them out for locations of your local haunted places. And I quote, "The Rave / Eagles Club is described as a four-story monumental granite block structure in an approximately 180,000 square foot, seven-level live entertainment complex was built in 1926. It is one of Milwaukee's distinguished landmarks. The architecture is adorned with stone carvings around the top of the building and the round tops and square bottoms of the lovely windows which grace the front of the building. The covered enclosed seating area on the rooftop is also has a round windows tops its front windows. This enclosed seating area has an open-air patio where people can see the glorious view, get some fresh air and smoke if they need, and there's a stairwell from down to the elegant, restored Eagles Ballroom. The top floor, the Eagles Ballroom, is a sight to behold, and I've actually seen shows up in the Eagles Ballroom before. It's a wonderful reminder of its elegant history. It's a huge 25,000-square-foot dance floor that is surrounded by covered private boxes on the first and second level, which I've sat in before, side note, which held up by pillars that, with intricate trim. The elegant domed ceilings are fancy dentils with eagle sculptures and themed decor, provide an elegant atmosphere in which anybody can enjoy a musical group. There are several stages in the place. I'll just run by them. The Rave Bar is Wisconsin's only all-ages small showcase venue. Some bands that have played the Rave Bar: Third Eye Blind, Smash Mouth, Blink 182, which I've seen there. That's probably the concert you're talking about here. Creed, Pearl Jam, and Tantric have performed on the stage. There is the Rave Vibe Room, which is located off the main lobby, featuring a smaller dance floor. And it's got a beautiful mirrored bar area. Skrillex has actually performed there. There's the Rave Hall itself. It's a two-level concert hall. This is where you typically see concerts when you go there. There's a lot of different bands that have played there over the years. The White Stripes, Bob Dylan, etc. And then there's finally the Eagles Hall, which is located in the basement of the building. It's a one-level Miami-style underground concert hall, offering a unique hardwood floor area, spectacular lighting, and terrific acoustics. I have not actually been down in the basement of the Eagles Hall. Let's talk a little bit about a history of the building. Are you still with me?
Yeah, you got to ask the manager to get down there.
What's that?
You got to ask the manager to get down there.
Well, we'll get there. Okay. So on February 6th, 1898, the Order of Goodfellows, which my father was a proud member of, was started by six men who wanted to help the underprivileged. In 1899, they changed their name to the Fraternal Order of Eagles. The Milwaukee Fraternal Order of Eagles was formed in 1901 by men who were involved in theater, including actors, playwrights, and stagehands. They became the largest Eagles club in America by 1941, and by 1955, this building was home to the Eagles Club National Headquarters. Designed by Russell Barr Williamson, which you might not know the name, but you would probably know the name of Russell's mentor, Frank Lloyd Wright, perhaps, famous architecturist, Are you back there?
I hear you. The guy with the houses.
Yeah, you've seen his houses then. Okay, moving on then. The building itself was built in 1926 and considered the finest and grandest Eagles club building in the United States under the organization of the Milwaukee chapter of the Milwaukee Fraternal Order of Eagles. And there, it was growing a large population amongst the community. Besides hosting elegant ballroom dances and social events, the most glorious ballroom, there is a wide variety of lounges. In the basement, there was an athletic club, including, but not limited to, a two-story gymnasium, bowling alley, boxing ring, basketball court, pool hall, swimming pool, a barber shop, and a radio station to top it all off.
There's a lot going on.
With, finally, a cafeteria located on the third floor.
It's the only thing that was missing.
Yeah, but it's all there. So, at the time... You go to the, like, if you were a member of the club, you were just well taken care of. You know, you could go there and not only, like, get your dance on by seeing, I don't know, whoever was performing there in the 20s, some big band orchestra piece, I'm sure, but you can also go down and get a haircut and a shave and then play some basketball while you're at it. It literally had everything.
What can't you do?
It's like the modern day YMCA, but on a grand, big scale. In 1939, the idea of using the building for music presentations took hold, reinventing its purpose. The Grand Ballroom became a popular venue for big band music, such as Guy Lombardo and Glenn Miller and their orchestras. The ticket holder could listen and dance at the same time or buy a box seat just to watch the band perform. Soon other types of music and comedians have performed there. Bob Hope and Red Skelton did stand-up comedy. And there was a famous concert tour that started there back in 1959. You could buy a $1.50 ticket to the Winter Dance Party.
Wow, that sounds
Do you know what the significance of the Winter Dance Party is, Count Panic?
The Winter Dance Party, what's the significance?
I'll tell you who performed, and perhaps you'll pick up on it.
Okay.
Buddy Holly.
Oh.
The Crickets, Big Bopper, Deanna and the Belmonts, and Richie Valens.
Oh, is this the dreaded
That is the the music died.
The plane ride, yeah. So that was the night.
Yes, that was the night to kick it off.
Wow.
Because not even a few weeks later, the plane crashed. We'll get to that though. Yeah. But it only cost $1.50 to go see some of these acts. I mean, Buddy Holly was one of the biggest, you know, musicians of all time. You can't even see anybody for $1.50 anymore. You could come see me, I guess. In 1964, the Eagles Club had its first rock concert with Dave Clark Five performing in the ballroom stage. When the athletic club was closed, a homeless men's shelter opened up temporarily in the basement area, providing shelter for destitute, which was life-saving during the freezing winter months of Milwaukee. Eventually, the men's shelter did end up closing down, and we just have the music area that we have to this day. Lots of bands come through and perform, and there's, you know, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra performs there. So it's a really cool place. Now that I got the history out of the way, and I probably bored you half to death with
not at all.
You learn about a venue of a place, but over the years, in 100 plus years of its history, just like any building that probably has anything kind of going on there, you could definitely tell there were some dark spots. An article I found from the Milwaukee Notebook, which is like a blogging area, but it found an news article from a newspaper once upon a time ago. On the afternoon of September 10th, 1927, Francis Wern, age 15, dived into the swimming pool at the Milwaukee Eagles Club. More than 40 people were in the pool at the time. Most of them were classmates of the West Division High School. No one noted when Francis failed to resurface. Minutes later, another diver bumped into Francis's body floating near the bottom of the pool's 9.5-foot deep end. Firefighters responded and performed artificial respiration for more than a half hour, but they could not revive the boy. It was initially speculated he died as a result of a heart attack, but an autopsy determined the drowning to have been the cause of death. There was no signs of heart disease. No one could ever explain how an athletic young man, known to be an expert swimmer and diver, could have just drowned unnoticed in a pool filled with swimmers, and his death has remained a mystery for 87 years. A lot of people believe that he ended up just passing away due to, a heart attack. It's still a mysterious death. As I said earlier, you know, we were talking about the winter party, and the winter party kicked off was at the rave, and it was in 1959 was the last performance of Buddy Holly right before he was killed in a plane crash on February 3rd, 1959, with Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper.
Strange tie in there, Bob.
Yes, and unfortunately, there was also, during the time, a lot of people were drinking and having a good time at these concerts, and some people ended up drinking themselves to death at the club, have passed out from alcohol poisoning, as some people do. They don't know when to cut it out, and various other things. And apparently, there was a when the basement was being used as a man's homeless shelter, the manager of the homeless shelter was not only abusive, but he was very mean and not a welcoming individual.
Oh, for sure.
So that's no good. Not to mention, other than the diver who I mentioned before, because I couldn't find any articles relating to this, but some people do claim that there were two other children who had drowned in the pool. People who actually worked there lifelong have died in the building as well. So again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it is a bad thing, but what I'm getting at is a building with that much history is bound to have something bad happen. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, we talk about some of these other places when we talk about hauntings and, you know, energy footprints left behind. And if it's like an old mental hospital, obviously that wasn't a good place. There's going to be a big negative footprint there, which is going to probably cause some sort of manifestation down the line. But in this case, I mean, yeah, there was some tragedy, and it's very tragic that these things happened. I don't, you know, it's unfortunate that the homeless population was treated poorly by this man, and it was very unfortunate these children drowned in the pool as well. It's not, it's all terrible things that happened. But at the same time, too, you got to think that there is a giant positive footprint being there as the negative as well. A lot of people are there having a good time. Music is pumped out, and people are enjoying that and having a good time and dancing. And, you know, there was a lot of charity work being held there, especially when the Eagles held that as their main club and doing work for the whole, you know, unfortunate. So, I mean, it's you got a good and a bad vibe there. Which leads to hauntings.
Yeah. Well, and before you move on here, it's something to be said, too, about the, you know, the older the people always say, well, geez, why aren't there more ghosts in modern buildings or modern homes? Well, the older the home, right? More things have happened in that home, and maybe people have passed or some things happened in that home that weren't great. But that's just a part of history. The older the building, the more activity it may have in the afterlife.
You are absolutely correct.
Am I right on that, Bob?
I'm impressed. You are absolutely correct.
I'm putting two and two together.
You are absolutely correct. Yes. It's when you build a house brand new, and let's say that you're building a house not on top of an ancient, you know, native burial ground. Because, I mean, that's a common trope you see in horror films often, that someone was built, their home was built over an, you know, native burial ground. Outside of that, when you build a brand new house and it's on top of nothing, you're probably not going to have any haunting kicking around because there's nothing there to haunt it. There's not a footprint. Nobody passed. There's no footprint left behind. You know, but if I go to an old hospital and wander about, I might pick up on something. But you are absolutely correct. There's no negative or positive footprint to have because there's nothing really going on there. Nobody's died in the building or perhaps had that much of an attachment to come back.
Of course, yeah.
So good point, Count Panic.
Like, people are looking up the homes online. You can always tell what home is haunted by just looking at the home. It's always the same generic style, right? You walk in the door, there's a staircase right there. There's like a den off to the side. Kind of like the Conjuring house, right? That's kind of like basically every spooky house.
Wait, can you pronounce that again?
Was it Conjuring house?
Conjuring
house. The Conjuring house. And it's basically built like that. You walk in, there's a staircase, there's a den, and that's about it. But and then you're like, oh, well, this house is this house is haunted, Bob.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with that said, you learn a little bit of history about the place. I'm no Pat with the Pat facts from the Ghostly Podcast by any means.
But who is?
No, Pat's a one-of-a-kind host. If you guys aren't listening to Ghostly Podcast, you probably should. But with a building this old, with that much history involved with it, there's bound to be some ghosts. And over the years, there has been some manifestations going on here. So let's talk a little bit about the different ghosts that are said to be haunting the rave at the Milwaukee.
What could it be?
It starts with the basement area, the home of the former men's shelter. The entity of the vile shelter manager, which I was saying before was known to be abusive, is thought to be the source of heavy energy, negative feeling, and icy cold spots felt by many, usually in the wee hours of closing time. And apparently, there are shadow people that have been reported by staff and a few band members picking up on after the night after performing at the Eagles Hall. So in the basement, the people have felt this real nasty vibe down there, and they believe it was the manager of the former men's shelter that's supposedly still haunting the place. And they're saying there's shadow people down in the basement. Could be related to the homeless, the men that were living there that weren't treated very well.
Makes sense.
It's very possible. Obviously, we talked about the pool and the unfortunate deaths that have happened there. In the pool area, which is now closed off, you cannot access the pool area. I mean, you can. It's just frowned upon. You probably shouldn't be wandering into the pool area. But if you do get access to the pool area, people believe that there's an entity of a little girl that roams the hallways behind the coat check area in the basement. Her laughter is heard. Her presence sometimes gives a living, brief sense of dread of all things. And staff have heard shuffled footprints, the smell of odor of bleach in the basement where the pool is located. Now, that one you could probably explain, some phantom smells left behind. But people have said that when they have gone into the pool area to do research, they've heard splashing. And they've heard a lot of commotion and disembodied chatter being in that pool. Because you can do flashlight ghost tours every year that the Historical Society does of the rave. One of my favorite stories of there, the boiler room, which is located under the pool, a past employee, only known as Jack, is said to still be present doing his work in the boiler room where he stays. He was a janitor back then. He doesn't like people coming into the area, and during one ghost hunt, there is a famous voice saying, get out now!" Scene that you could see if you look up the video on the YouTubes. The Eagles Ballroom, there's one of the stages we talked about. That's the more elegant one. Lots of different things go on there. Apparitions have been felt and seen in the ballroom, mostly just the musicians are rehearsing, or when the crowd have gone home, or the ballroom doesn't have a show, and it's just empty for the evening. The Eagles Ballroom is reserved for well-established bands that can draw a huge crowd. An employee of the rave was standing on the floor of the Eagles Ballroom, making sure that the people going to the roof patio didn't get lost and go into the Eagles Ballroom by design. We asked the hauntedhouses.com, asked him if he experienced anything paranormal, and he said that one of his fellow workers had seen what they thought was a man standing on the second floor boxes located above the Eagles Ballroom. He called security, and when they approached the person, he ran down the aisle and disappeared before the staff person that was behind him and the security person cutting off his escape could try to grab him. Bands have heard a presence or have seen an entity watching them play on the stage during rehearsals before the club is opened to the public. So somebody is still kicking around the rave to this day, still enjoying music in the ballroom.
Well, you know, that's the thing. When you're in a club like that, there's going to be – you're going to want the music to keep continuing on. I know we talked about the day the music died, but, you know, those spirits, those specters – they want to live on those glory days, and they want to hear some good tunes.
Absolutely. And there's other places in the building that are said to be haunted as well. Staff who are cleaning up after hours have seen entities of children playing in a group. People hear voices coming from places where no one was alive there. Happy sounds of children playing or the distressful noise of children crying unhappy are heard as well. Now, let me tell you something. This is just a side note. If there is one sound of a ghost that's going to make me angrier than anything, it's a screaming child. It's like, please get your child under control.
Yeah. Well, that happens all the time now.
Absolutely. On the other music venue stages located throughout the building, bands have noticed this one entity who likes to watch them practice or when not many people in the audience were present. And that light there, we talk a little bit about what draws what draws spirits, right? And count, am I still picking up on audio because I just kicked a cord and it's kind of stinky?
I hear you just fine.
All right, I'll just go through it then. All right. You know, we look at what how a spirit interacts with people, right? And how a spirit can interact with just individuals in general, and what could cause more of a reaction now versus another time, right? And the idea is, what are you bringing to the table, or what sort of energy is this spirit going to have to do to interact with you? Are you going to exert the energy, whatever it might be, right? So it doesn't surprise me that this thing's only going to be around when nobody's around.
Yeah.
Because if a ghost is going to be present when there's a ton of people there, well, you're not even going to know what's happening, period. You know what I mean? You know, you follow me?
Yeah, I follow you.
Yeah. So, and you got to think, if you're there and you're playing music, music at the end of the day is still a form of vibrations in the air, which is still energy at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a different type of vibration and something that the spirit might not be used to, it's going to be drawn to the concept of, hey, that's something different. I'm going to follow these vibrations. Or on the flip side, oh, I'm familiar with this. It is music.
Yeah.
Which,
that makes sense. Vibrations, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can, as I was saying at the beginning here, you can take tours of the rave. It's, they do them a couple times a year, usually right around now. You can book a tour with like the Historical Society of Milwaukee, and they'll like open up even the pool for you to go and like go in within there for like a flashlight tour and stuff. It's, I haven't done it, but it seems like a lot of fun. You can capture your own EVP and whatnot.
Yeah.
And well, so thanks to hauntedhouses.com and the other websites that were giving me some insight on the people who have died there and whatnot, which would have caused it to be haunted in the first place. The
vibrations make sense, Bob, too, because you figure if I could put two and two together once again, some of those you know, folks that may have passed on, they live, correct me if I'm wrong here, they live for those vibrations in a way.
And they might live for those good vibrations.
Oh!
Ha ha! Did you see what I did there?
I did.
All right, Count, do you have any closing words for our audience?
Bob, you know, I had never been to see a show. I've heard it's very famous.
It's gorgeous.
Spot.
Yeah.
And they still have concerts regularly?
Yeah, I mean, you could go see, they book big name shows there. You could go see a band at the rave anytime.
Who can we go see? Maybe a polka band or something.
The Kenosha Kickers.
Why don't we go? We should go see a show.
I'm telling you, go see a show at the rave. It's a lot of fun. It's one of the most beautiful venues I've ever been to.
Gotta check it out.
I gotta check it out for the ghost aspect.
Yeah,
it's something cool in general. But
tell me you want to go in that basement, Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, of closing arguments. Well, no, not closing arguments.
Just closing statement.
Closing statement.
Do you have a quip?
A quip, folks. Go in your closet right now. Find a veil. Put the veil on the table. Put the veil on the table and just stare at it and keep staring at it until Halloween and see it get thin right before your very eyes. Excellent. Might be waiting for a while, though.
And folks, Halloween's coming up. We're going to be announcing our theme starting next month here very soon. So you guys can stick around on social media to find out what's going on next month. And we will see you during the spooky season. Thank you, folks, for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just wanted to say good night. To Mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.